Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Business rock stars. Now we'll head over to the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center in San Francisco with Tui Vu.
Hey there, thanks, and welcome to Scale the Wall, powered by NASDAQ Private Markets. Stay private on your own terms. For more information, go to npm.com. Well, today we have with us Daniel Ha, founder of Discus. Even if the company's name isn't familiar, you have probably seen or even used their product at the end of online blogs and news articles in the comment section. Discus provides a free embedded widget that enables online publishers to power their comment section. And Daniel, it is so nice to see you.
Thank you so much.
So, you know, it's true. I use the comments section. Mm-hmm. I read the comments section. I never really realized it's you guys until I started researching what Discus does.
Yeah.
You've been around about 10 years. You have phenomenal growth. The numbers are pretty astounding. 15 billion monthly page views, 50 million monthly comments across nearly 200 countries. How did you get to this level of explosive growth?
Well, after 10 years, I don't know if you can call it explosive anymore, but it took a while. We kind of took it slow. And so we've entered our 10th year this year. And I started right after I turned 21 with my friend Jason. And it started out sort of as a project for us. We're studying computer science over at UC Davis nearby here. And this was something we're really passionate about. We had two things we wanted to go do. One was we knew we were going to do a startup on the internet. And we're really passionate about online communities. And one of the things we were thinking about was, you know, how to grow and how to think about who our real users actually were. And over the first 2 years of running this company, we were mostly focused on who those customers were and why they would actually want to use our software. Mm-hmm. So for the first couple of years, we were slowly growing. The team was anywhere between 2 and 4 people over the first 2 years. And then after that, we started to pick up and kind of get into our groove of what our business was going to look like.
And where did the idea actually come from? I know what you wanted to do with it.
Yeah.
And then how did you go about starting the company?
Sure, yeah. So this was, let me look a little back. So Jason and I met when we were 13. And one of the first things we did when we met was run an online community together. So mm-hmm. sort of an online forum, a message board. And this was one of 12, 13 different projects we worked on between then and the end of high school.
Oh my gosh, you guys were prolific.
We did a bunch of small things
yeah.
over time, and we sort of didn't really lose touch, but we weren't as close. But then we reconnected a few years later when we were both studying computer science.
But just out of curiosity, what was yeah. your favorite thing that you worked on during those years between, you know, 13 and graduating from high school?
I would say, so aside from computers, one of my passions as a 12-year-old was hip-hop music, especially gangster rap. I felt like I embody a lot of that in what
really?
I do. So we ran a music site, and it was a little bit of music pirating and a little bit of lyrics and a little bit of writing about the culture,
really?
Which was funny for, and he's also an Asian guy,
yeah.
so two small Asian kids writing about this, and it was fun for us. But I also worked with the school newspaper mm-hmm. at the time, and I would use that to plug a website that was mm-hmm. one of my favorites. Not really disclaiming it was mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I would talk about, you know, everyone should come to the site and download the latest tracks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you guys grew up, yeah. 21 now, and you, how did you go about starting this company, Discus?
Yeah, so one of the first things we did, we just decided that we're going to work on something. That was like the first thing we decided. And he was working on a few different things, and I had some time. And outside of class, we basically spent all of our time just working on these side projects. They're essentially web applications. Mm-hmm. And they were all fairly iterative, so they weren't like separate projects. They would get to a certain point, and we're like, you know what? We like this spin of the idea a little bit better, and we go pursue that. And then this was over the course of about a year. And it sort of kept evolving. And the name for the company and our website came before the actual product, which was which kind of showed how much we just wanted to do something regardless of what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And the way that it came about was, you know, my background was more in product design, mm-hmm. and I would essentially type out our logo and find out a shape of a logo that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up being Discus. And I didn't like the name at all because it wasn't, it's hard to pronounce phonetically, and there's a weird letter Q in it.
Yeah.
So for a long period of time, I wanted to change the name, but it was the first name we bought, and Jason said, you know, we already spent whatever it was, $44 on it, so we couldn't change it at that point.
Well, when you're on a limited budget, starting off $44
sure,
means
yeah.
something.
And then, you know, we ended up, this was a couple years into school, we ended up deciding that we should spend more time on it, whatever it's going to be. So we dropped out and spent a few months just working on a few different things, eventually ending up at Y Combinator, the accelerator
team.
Yeah.
So now 10 years later, a success story. How do you make money now? And have you gone through various iterations of the product
along that journey? Yeah, we have. So we've, I think we're on our third full-scale business model.
Mm-hmm.
And after 10 years, I've just learned a ton about the different spaces that we want to get into. And we're more or less into media. Mm-hmm. So
Media content.
Our software powers publisher content, but our software is free to use. And we use that for one of our unique attributes, which is sort of cheap distribution.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to kind of get our product across a lot of different places. So mm-hmm. that's why you'll run across it, even if you don't notice it.
Right.
And we're able to do that because most of our sales happens inbound and people are coming to us. And we make our money through advertising and data, working with other media companies.
And what are you, I mean, by now, with the millions of users that you have, you must have a ton of data. What do you plan to do with all that data? Are you going to monetize that?
Well, we already do, yeah.
Okay.
So we have a data as a service business line that accompanies our advertising business. And we're sort of in a unique space right now with media, mm-hmm. I think. And one of the holy grails that I think a lot of marketers try to search for is trying to find out who a user is, right? Mm-hmm. And they're competing against these huge behemoths, Google and Facebook, when it comes to understanding who user is and the depth of that data that they have. But unless you're spending money with Facebook or working closely with them, you don't really have that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we try to go do, working with a number of different partners, is to give advertisers and marketers a better sense of who that user is and how they can use that within their goals. Typically, advertising, marketing, having a closer relationship with those users.
And in today's environment, you know, there's so much news coming out mm-hmm. now, right? Especially
yeah.
we've got a new presidential administration in.
Yeah.
Are you finding that that's good for business? Have you just seen the number of comments explode?
Oh, my God, yeah. So when you think about internet discussion or online communities, it's chaotic. It's always been chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that over the last 18 months, it feels, and this is, you know, perception-wise, it feels like it's been a lot more highlighted. And, you know, you have this notion of internet communities, internet discussion, and then real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of companies, including ourselves and our peers, kind of feel this responsibility and this burden around how people get their news, how people, how society is shaped based on online discussion, all those different things. So it's come up a lot more prominently in how we think about the stuff that we see mm-hmm. in our business and how that it actually impacts not only media or technology, mm-hmm. but just people who don't even care about what we do, just how it impacts society.
So as you're thinking about that, what kind of impact has it had on the way you do your business?
Sure, yeah. Something pretty recent over the last maybe about month and a half is this idea of hate speech, right? Mm-hmm. Something that's always been, very prominent online. And we've always done what we thought was right in combating harassment and bullying and hate speech online.
How do you combat it? What do you do? Do you shut people down?
We do, yeah. So a couple different ways. Some of it is we try to keep a non-editorial stance mm-hmm. in what we do. We think we're a product and technology company. But there's some things that are out of bounds, illegal things, harassment. But we try to stick with our terms of service with those things. And more recently, because it's become such a prominent way of how people think about news and how much hate there is online, we try to take a more algorithmic and product approach to those things.
What's next for Discus? You've been around 10 years,
yeah.
and even though you power a lot of online sites, very few people, right, really know what Discus is or who it is.
Yeah.
Do you want a bigger, more visible presence out in the market?
I think you got to hit it with your point around data. Probably about last year, we realized what we were sitting on was a really deep understanding of what people are saying, who they are, their activity.
What they like, what they don't like.
Exactly, yeah. So we think about, like, all right, we want to do something for online communities. There's something very special about the chaotic nature of that and how that shapes the internet, but also real people. And one of the things that we think about is how it actually impacts media. And again, we always think about this, like, window of time between how media is evolving. And, you know, 20 years ago, moving from more traditional mediums to digital, people have moved past that. Now they're mm-hmm. thinking about who are publishers today, how they actually create content and make money from that. There's so many challenges still.
Well, stay there. We will come back and talk more with Daniel Ha about some of the biggest obstacles he's faced and how he managed to scale the wall to success. Scale the Wall is powered by NASDAQ Private Market. Stay private on your own terms. For more information, go to npm.com. I'm Thuy Vu, and this is Business Rockstars.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Call 800-240-0069. That's 800-240-0069.
Is credit card debt ruining your life? Now you can have a large portion of your credit card debt forgiven. Get Relief Today wants to give you free information that shows you how. This program is proven to work for credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt. We'll give you the secret to this money-saving program absolutely free. 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558.
You should. Nothing grows like weeds, except maybe weeds. And nothing kills them quite like Roundup Weed and Grass Killer from the Home Depot. Right now, the 1 gallon ready-to-use size is a special buy at just $8.97. Roundup kills fast. At the root, you can see results in just 3 hours. They may grow like weeds, but you can stop them even faster. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer, 1 gallon ready-to-use, now just $8.97, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Business rock stars. Now we'll head over to the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center in San Francisco with Thuy Vu.
Hi there, I'm Thuy Vu, broadcasting from the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center in San Francisco. This is Scale the Wall, powered by NASDAQ Private Market. Stay private on your own terms. For more information, go to npm.com. Entrepreneurs and small business owners always face challenges, and what they need to learn how to do is scale the wall. We are going to discuss the challenges they all face and how they have managed to overcome them. Joining me is Daniel Ha, founder of Discus. Even if the company's name isn't familiar, you have probably seen or even used their product at the end of online blogs and news articles in the comment section. Discus provides a free embedded widget that enables online publishers to power their comment section. And Daniel, it is so nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Wanted to take the opportunity, though, to also ask you more about your entrepreneurial journey, right? What was your first entrepreneurial endeavor?
The first one was probably when I was in seventh grade. And a lot of my core interest, whether it be cars or computers, comes from my dad. Mm-hmm. And he's always he always wants to have like the latest gadgets. So one day he came home from something he got from work, which was a CD burner, right? The ability to copy CDs and burn content onto a disc. And that week, I made a bunch of copies of movies and music and different games that I had. And in seventh grade, I went around selling those, and I used that to buy my brother presents.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least you were generous with it.
I was, yeah. I thought it was dirty money, so I thought I laundered it a little bit.
Do you have a favorite entrepreneur?
A favorite entrepreneur? Oh, God. I'm going to skip the big guys. When I think about, like, people that I try to, I think about, you know, what would this person do? What would he or she do? I kind of think about folks that I'm a little bit closer to, or I may see around friends and the way they approach certain problems. More recently, I've really admired Justin Kahn, who did Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Because?
Just his tenacity.
Mm.
Yeah, and one of the things I learned, not from Justin, but from Alexis from Reddit, very early on, probably the first few weeks I was thinking about doing a startup, he mentioned that you're always going to find people who are more resourced than you, a lot smarter than you, who have perhaps better opportunities. But the one thing you can actually control is that you can work harder than them.
Mm.
Right? And you can't really sit there and say that, hey, this person is just going to work harder than me.
Yeah.
And that's why they won. Right?
And so is that a primary motivation for you? You just knowing that if you work harder than the next guy, that you just might get there.
You know, it's sometimes it's a benefit, sometimes it's a bad thing. Mm. I think that when you're, working at a startup, doing a startup, being an entrepreneur, or in a small team, there's that weird, like, very thin line between, like, being extremely stubborn and giving up too quick. And I don't know what side of history, like, companies will fall in or where we'll fall on, but sometimes you have to kind of know yourself, like, if you're being stubborn about it because you're trying to push through, or you think there's really something there that you just haven't broke through yet.
That's a good point. Do you have other passions outside of startups?
I do, yeah. So probably my big thing out of computers was cars growing up, ever since I was 12, 13 years old. Yeah, so.
Racing cars or?
Working on cars, racing cars. Yeah, this weekend I was down at Laguna Seca near Monterey on the track.
Nice.
So I spent a lot of time trying to get better at that. Yeah. I'm not good yet, but one of my goals is just to progress towards that over time.
I know that you're saying that it's still to be discovered, right? But what are some of your thoughts on where it might head next?
Sure, for a discuss?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's going to come down to working more directly with figuring out small-sized publishers who are trying to grow into being large. Mm-hmm. A lot of what's happened that I've seen over the last few years, very large media companies, Hearst, Condé Nast, right, where they've been able to use their brand to expand and grow. You have New York Times, who has a brand. They're able to build a presence and get subscriptions, people who are going to pay for that content. And then on the other side of things, tiny, tiny consumers, you have less people who are individual publishers today who are coming online and creating blogs to write about their day or what they're doing at school or at work. Mm-hmm. But you have this like very healthy, medium-sized group where they're writing about things that may not be the size of New York Times. You're not writing about news or politics, but what they're writing about is, you know, vegan food or winter sports or Korean drama, something very niche, but super narrow and focused and passionate.
But they have an audience.
They have an audience. Yeah. And that audience is not going to be the same number as the viewers of, a cable news channel. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for ways to grow that organization, but also their business. They can't rely on traditional advertising. It's tougher now. And they have a more shallow relationship with their users, given how users consume content today through Facebook and, you know, eventually things like
that. So how would you serve them?
For them, I think it's going to be about using our data and our network to help them better understand their users and own those users. Mm-hmm. Because Disqus kind of works as software, but we're connected as a network, our goal is to kind of take everything that we've learned and that we can gather from those users and pipe that back into products for publishers.
Oh, interesting. All right, so what are the three best pieces of advice that you can give to an aspiring entrepreneur or business owner?
Oh, God. I'll say tip zero would be take all advice with grains of salt. My favorite line from Paul Bucay, who says that advice is essentially limited experience and extrapolation, right? But I always find, like, when I think about advice, it's always more fun to give because you kind of think about yourself from a third-person perspective, and you're like, all right, how can I apply my own my own thoughts to that? I would say, number one, for me, I always come back to the product and the market. And sometimes, like, I'll go through the entire day, I'm like, this was kind of a bad day. Mm-hmm. This was a tough day. And I'm working through a lot of different challenges. I'm trying to figure out, like, why it was such a bad day. And when I back all the way out and I realize if I'm not thinking about how what we do impacts the people who are using it or where our business is going to grow, then it's a small issue. If you kind of figure out that core part of it, then everything else will kind of fall into place.
Yeah.
Number two is, I think, finding mentors or asking for help early is really, really key. It's something that I regret for myself. I have this personality where I am very curious, so I'm like, well, if I don't know what that is, I'm going to figure it out. And I think a lot of people are like that. But I think the people that I really admire who have really grown and scaled out, they are not afraid of asking for help because you can kind of pull in people who are doing things that you think you can do, but they love doing it. And because they love doing it, they can execute on it at a much different level.
All right, lovely. Daniel Ha with Discuss. Thanks to him and thanks to you. Join us every Friday as we scale the wall powered by NASDAQ Private Market. Stay private on your own terms. You can always find out more by going to npm.com. I'm Thuy Vu, and this is Business Rockstars.
I'm DeRigo Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. For many teenagers, mowing lawns during the summer will be their first job. For parents, it's a great way to get older kids outside, on a schedule, and earning money. And if they live in certain areas, it can be a good lesson in how government bureaucracy works too. Wait, what? Here's the story. Earlier this spring, a city in Alabama said it was going to require teenagers to get a professional license to cut grass. The license costs $110, and apparently an adult with a lawn cutting business demanded that teens get licensed too. As you might expect, the city took a lot of criticism for making it harder for teens to find work, and eventually it did the right thing by backing off and granting a waiver for full-time students. Let's be fair.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619. 6619.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack. We inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me is CEO and founder Scott Richards of Reconnect Research. Tell us a little bit about what is Reconnect Research.
So Reconnect Research is a company that connects people who are already on the phone with market research surveys. If you made a call and you didn't connect to your intended party, you'd be asked to do a survey.
What are you most excited about what you guys are up to right now?
It's a market that is extremely, first of all, it's virgin. It's never been done before. Market researchers, it's about a $40 billion a year business. They're dying to speak to people, and nobody answers their phone anymore.
You were telling me that a survey is now happening. So when I call somebody and it doesn't go through, they're going to provide me the opportunity to take a survey?
Right. So up till now, for the last 100 years, AT&T has had a message that said, the number you're trying to reach is no longer in service. Please hang up the phone. So think about that for a minute. Nobody wins. The caller didn't win. My caller has to... So now, what if you heard, the number you're trying to reach is no longer in service? Would you like $25 dining dollars if you'll answer our 3-minute survey?
So there's actually a reward incentivizing me for taking the survey.
Some are rewards and some aren't. But yes, sometimes they'll give you a reward. Or would you like a $1 Amazon card texted to your phone right now for answering a 3-minute survey?
Sounds like a pretty cool opportunity. So when did you guys end up, you know, coming up with this idea? Because it sounds like something that I haven't heard of until I started talking to you.
Nobody heard of it. And the people in
so
research,
a new thing.
Especially the government research, are like Pew Research and Nielsen and these major companies, they are like blown away. And they really love this whole concept. It was iterative. Originally, because I'm the chairman of a company called Dial 800 for the last 18 years. And I was the CEO of it, and I'm the chairman of the company. And about 3 years ago, when I promoted my chief operating officer to the CEO position, my job was skunk works. My job was to figure out, well, what can we do? So one of the things I wanted to find out is how many people were calling the numbers. We have about 200 some odd thousand numbers sitting in our inventory. And at any given time, Dial 800 is like the Google Analytics for telephone. So you have a bunch of them resting, waiting for advertising campaigns. So I asked my telecom person, how many calls do we get, accidental calls, to those toll-free numbers? And he said, a lot.
You were saying, what, 5 to 10 billion phone calls don't get connected on a monthly basis?
Yeah, in the North American numbering plan, there's about 1,500 telephone carriers, the big ones like AT&T and a lot of small ones which you never heard of, and about 5 to 10 billion of the 150 million, billion, there's 150 billion calls every month that are transported in North American numbering plan, 5 to 10 billion never reach their intended destination. Wow. I call it like the voice superhighway that nobody knows about.
How long have you been doing this? How long have you been in this industry?
So I started in 96, and then 3 years ago we created Reconnect Research. Because the whole idea is, I wonder if all these people that are being hung up on, I wonder if any of them would do surveys.
Yeah.
And we did a major test to find out.
And how's that going?
Test was, it was mind-boggling. In fact, we were on CNBC, we were on CBS. We predicted the Florida primary. We were off by 0.5% for Clinton. We beat every single poll in the United States.
What's been the hardest part on your journey so far? I'm always curious to know. The roller coaster of being an entrepreneur is always intense and has different highs and lows for each person. But most people relate to, you know, our mistakes and our failures. Was there one that kind of comes to your heart right now when you think about a time in your life that you were either in a dark place or a big failure or mistake that you
absolutely
had? Share it with us. Take us back to that.
Great one. It was the ugliest, worst time ever. So there was a fella when I was a stockbroker. He was a big, he did millions of dollars. He came over from another company. And I started following him. And he was a rotten person. He was doing a ton of business. So I figured I'm going to mentor him because I believe you should mentor somebody that's really successful. And I really just completely blew it. He wasn't a successful human. He made a lot of money, but he did a lot of damage. Mm. And it ended up getting me in places I didn't want to go to. So when you're choosing a mentor, you have to look for somebody who is a kind person. If you see that he's angry at work or he cheats on his wife, he's not a good person that you want to deal with. You want to see somebody who is an honest person. He doesn't cheat on his taxes. He's friendly. He's got a good relationship. He loves his kid. That's the type of person you're looking for, because we have the character traits don't split. And if you're going to hire two people, if I had two people about the same in front of me, I would take the guy with good behavior all day long. You can't teach good behavior.
So like me, you have a background in sales and marketing. What are some things that you guys are doing to be able to sell this to the big companies that you're talking about?
So in this particular case, this is really case studies are really the most important thing, having case studies and actually meeting people. There are about five major companies that do billions of dollars of research in the country, and we're basically doing something with virtually all of them.
So who's your ideal client? Is it Fortune 1000s?
It's actually, in this particular case, no. They are research, when the government does health research, they go to companies like RTI International and Westat and Nielsen and things like this and Norca. And these are major companies most people never heard of, but they're big companies. And they're the people who actually do the research. And those are our customers.
So the hardest thing to do when getting started is always land your first big client. How did you guys end up landing your first big client?
Very good question. So what I ended up doing is I joined American Association for Public Opinion Research, which is I looked to see who's a trade group where these people go. And then I asked them, who's one of the biggest, baddest guys on the as far as your members? And they said RTI International. I went to RTI International. I found the guy who did stuff on outbound telephone research. I told him what we're doing. He was blown away. I said, would you do a case study? And he did. And then they went and spoke about it at this last May in Austin, which I have on my website. And he basically said that he's done over 100 outbound research studies. He's never found one more representative than the one we did.
People come up with surveys, but they're asking the wrong questions. So do you have any advice for people that are out there that either are currently surveying their customers for better feedback, or maybe they aren't and they should be? Do you have like a template or a structure or some practical tips for how people can create an effective survey?
That's a really good question. So when we did this study, it's called the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey. It's done by the CDC. It's a big health survey. I actually wrote 12 different introductory scripts to see which one would work best. We played them against 1,000 people each. We took the best reward script and the best non-reward script, and then we did the case study where we asked 52,000 people, will you answer our survey? And we got almost 7,000 people completed a 3-minute, 17-question survey. So testing is really important because as a marketer, you really don't know what the public thinks until you try it.
I love that. And something that a lot of business owners that may be tuned in with us right now are thinking is company retention. We always want to know, how can we get the millennials that we're hiring to stay in our organizations? How can we just hire great talent? Something that I love that you talk about is the 3 C's of great employees. Could you dive into what those are?
Yeah, 3 C's of great employees. I live by this and I've seen it throughout my career. Okay, the first one is competence. You have to be competent to do the job. Right? Next one is consistency. You have to be competent and do it every day. And the third one is you must be compatible. And if you have those three, you'll have a job for life.
Now the average millennial, 18 to 34 approximately in age, is going to statistically have 16 or more careers, meaning they're going to leave your company and have another 10 or more jobs. So how do you retain, you know, great talent? Some people say it's company culture. Some people say it's value alignment. Some people say it's incentivizing them with monetary compensation or praise and gratitude, things like that. What do you say? I kind of hinted at some of them.
So first of all, you have to pay as good or better than the marketplace, because reality, they're looking on salaries and they know what other people are making for what they're doing. So that's number one. That's a given.
Yeah.
That's like the basic. Our office, if you came to our office in Westwood, you'd see it's the entire 17th floor. We have a ping pong room, we have a pool table room with surround sound, all the snacks and drinks and everything you can have. And every morning we have a full-on breakfast for people. We have an all-hands meeting, so we're all aligned. And people see that we really, really take care of them. It's a gorgeous working environment. And they've got tremendous freedom to do what they want, provided they perform. And the people that perform are extremely happy.
What's the toughest part about being a CEO? What are some of the difficult things?
Well, the most difficult thing, in my opinion, and that's why I actually do not run. I am the CEO of Reconnect Research, but Dial 800, which is the main company, which really this spawned from. We have 45 employees. And I hired a chief operating officer because I really didn't like running a company myself. Yeah. Running a company means you're dealing with the P&L, you're dealing with firing people. I'm really good at hiring people. I am terrible at firing people.
Yeah, no one likes firing people.
Right. So when I hired my chief operating officer, he fired half my staff. He said, we got to like start all over. So really being able to know when to say, you know what, we should part company. You are not going to be able to perform to your maximum at this company. And really, that's it. That's a really very difficult part and not a glamorous part.
So we've got tons of aspiring entrepreneurs that tune in with us that have an idea, but they're just maybe not 100% sure on what their why, their what, or their how is to get that idea into becoming something that's profitable for them. And they have a 9-to-5 job. What's your advice for them to be able to cut the cord and have the confidence and certainty to be able to go after their passionate, you know, idea to turn it into something profitable?
As fast as you can, build something. Do it moonlighting and try to get somebody to if it's, you know, have to buy something. If you're going to sell something, a service or something, try to get somebody to actually do it. I made a giant mistake, spent a year doing it. I was building a company called WorldReach and spent a year, had $150,000 put into this thing and got one person to spend $9.95 for the service that we were making.
And that was it.
That was
a whole year for $10.
Whole year. Well, yeah, and $150,000 down the drain. So what I learned from that, and this is so important, whatever it is, half-baked, quarter-baked, get it out there in the world as fast as you can to see if somebody will actually buy what you're doing.
So don't wait until you feel like it's perfect.
Don't!
People make that mistake all the time, but it's not perfect yet.
No. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get out there, just like in this research business. We are learning so much from what the people are telling us, the clients are telling us. You know, when we've done scripts, the voice cadence that we've done, the kind of voice that we have, the sound of the voice, the milliseconds between the answers, all these, you can't learn that sitting in your room. You can only when you're interacting with people and you're actually doing something. So get it out there as fast as you possibly can.
As we come to a wrap on our segment, though, I got one last question for you. I call it the stadium pitch. You've got, you know, 30 seconds to deliver your best advice ever for aspiring entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in a huge stadium to give them your best advice ever. So what is it?
Get it out there, whatever idea you have, as fast as you possibly can. And find out whether or not it's going to work and do it with enthusiasm. And if it works, start figuring out the details. If it doesn't work, go on to the next idea.
I love that. You got to get out there and you got to get started. Scott Richards, you're the man. I appreciate you for coming on our show.
Absolutely.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Attention. Do you have outstanding federal student loans? Then get ready for a special free offer. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information to see if you qualify for one lower monthly payment or student loan forgiveness. The call is free, the information is free, and there's absolutely no obligation. See if you qualify for lower monthly payments or loan forgiveness. Call now. 800-801-4950. That's 800-801-4950. Don't wait. Call now. 800-801-4950.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Hello, this is America's healthcare advocate with your healthcare tip of the day. The most health-promoting type of fat that you can eat is composed of omega-3 fatty acids. They reduce your risk of breast cancer considerably in three major ways. Omega-3 fatty acids decrease the power of estrogen in the breast so that cells won't divide as quickly in response to estrogen. They act to subdue inflammation and all the ill effects of an enzyme involved in inflammation called COX-2 enzyme. Omega-3s mop up oxygen-free radicals. Here's a list of some of the major health conditions improved with omega-3 fats. Asthma, cancer of the breast, prostate, and colon, diabetes, heart arrhythmias, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, rheumatoid arthritis, skin disorders, osteoporosis, gum disease, and more. The best source of omega-3 fatty acids is flax seeds, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, hemp seeds, soybeans, winter squash, and ground oregano are the other good sources. The body functions best when you eat a 4-to-1 ratio of omega-6s and omega-3s. Fat that's good for you.
NASDAQ Private.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
How do you get more views on YouTube? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. My guest today is Brandon Lucero. He's the founder of Sold With Video. Brandon, it's great to have you, brother.
Great to be here.
So how do you get more views on YouTube? I know you're an expert in that space.
So the very first thing you want to do is look at your target audience, who you're going to be turning into customers. And the next step in that is figuring out what are they looking for, what are they struggling with online. If we can determine kind of what their search behavior is or what they're really struggling with, we can then start to create content around those terms because we know they're actively looking for it. I mean, when you have a problem, when I have a problem, or you want to be entertained, I want to be entertained, we usually just go online, do a bunch of searches, and that's really the best place to start attracting a very targeted audience and start developing a ton of views. So that would probably be the very first step that I would recommend.
Okay, so something you said was, you don't just want to get views, you want to get targeted views for a specific ideal audience.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying? Based on the content and based on the product?
Based on both. So like, and you can even develop products around what they're searching for, because if they're searching for it, you know that they need a solution, right? Like, no one's going to go search for information if they're not struggling with something.
Yeah.
So it's like the highest converting traffic we've ever gotten, because it's almost like cheating. You know,
you find the demand already.
Yeah, you know what their problems are. You know what they're struggling with. You know what they want. There's no guessing. There's no like, okay, well, let's do some interviews and try to figure out what people are doing and surveys and stuff like that. You know. Like,
well, how do you know, though? There. Where's the data? I know, like, so, there's Google Analytics and there's different things like that, and you can actually go on certain platforms and it'll tell you, this is the highest keyword search. This is the highest thing searched on YouTube.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
So where is that? How can people find that?
So there's a tool called the Google Keyword Planner tool that Google gives you. It's part of the AdWords platform, but they let you use it for free, and you can actually type in keywords, and they'll tell you how many people every month are looking for those terms.
What's the best way to do it? Should I only do it where it's an ad in the top right? Should I do it where the video pops up, or should I just test?
So there's two separate ways of doing it. One is all organically. Number two is paid advertising.
So what would organically be versus
organically
paid?
Would be like someone types in, let's say you own a baking school, like you want to get people enrolled into your baking school, and you're like, okay, they're looking how to make a cookie. You find that, you create that term so that, and you create the perfect video for that term. So then when someone actually goes into Google or goes into YouTube and types in how to make a cookie or how to bake a cookie, your video is the number one result organically, not the paid advertising.
Yeah.
But then when you incorporate paid advertising, it's like adding gasoline to the fire, because you know, you're in all over the place. You're in different spots.
And where's the best place to put the ad on YouTube?
I always like the pre-rolls that come up before, because you can actually target your competitors if you wanted to. If your competitors run ads on their channel to try to get some, like, you know, extra revenue coming in, you can literally take your video and put it right in front of theirs. So someone can click on their video to go watch it, and bam, yours pops up. So I always love the pre-roll. But you can come up in this top of the search. You can come up on the right side as well.
So what are the mistakes you see people making on YouTube?
The two biggest mistakes is that they just randomly pick topics that they think people are looking for, people want, and no one wants it. Mm. The second mistake is they do a lot of explaining why you should be doing something. But the thing is, someone lands on your video, they do a search, or they look at the thumbnail, they look at the title, they click on it, they already know the why. Like, going back to that cookie example, no one's going to click on that video and then want to sit there and listen to why they need to make cookies. They already know why. Like, that's why they're there. So avoid the why and just get into, like, the what to do and adding value and being sure that you're creating something that they actually want and care about.
So it's counterintuitive, because I think sometimes you hear people say, start with the why.
Yeah.
But you're saying do the opposite and instead focus more on delivering value.
Yeah, because you got to look at the behavior of the person. Like, how are they getting onto that video? And if their intent is, I want the information, the why's already, they've already seen the why. Someone else has already explained it to them.
And if you did it right, the why should already be established.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when you're on YouTube and people are searching for your videos, what is the timing? Is there a specific timing that you can put in front of the person? Like, is it remarketing? Is it, like, Ty Lopez is somebody that, you know, both of us are familiar with in the space. Yep. He knows that if I watch one of his videos, the video is going to pop up almost on everything that I do now. So the timing of it comes into play, right?
Yeah, the timing does. I mean, the remarketing capabilities between YouTube and even Facebook, too.
Yeah. Like,
it's ridiculous with even Facebook. Facebook video, I mean, that's a whole nother beast. But you can actually remarket to people. And one of my biggest things is not only just remarketing within YouTube and then the whole Google platform, but also getting them onto my property, because I could put any remarketing code I want. And once they hit my website or an email list, I can then remarket with all of my video content on Facebook, on YouTube, or any other Instagram, whatever platform I want.
So explain the remarketing first, just really simply. Dumb it down. You can get a pixel on your videos so that when somebody clicks it but doesn't buy, you can continue to put the ad in front of them. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's basically a pixel that goes on to a website or something like that. Mm-hmm. They hit it, and then they go into what I call a bucket. And so the more views you get and people on your website, they go into this bucket. So, for example, we're in a product launch right now. So what we've done, we actually started the process like 3 months ago, where we're constantly remarketing videos. So we know if they watch video number one, we're then sending them video number two, video number three. And there's no pitch. It's just straight value and returning cold traffic into warm traffic. Now we're entering to the sales process, and we've built up a list of 100,000 people that have never heard of us, but we've built up a relationship with them over the last 3 months just because of the remarketing stuff. So it all started with YouTube, funnel them to a place, get them in a remarketing bucket, and then just hit them with value for a couple months to warm the traffic up, and then now it's right into our product.
So was that 100,000 people that you had pixeled, or was that 100,000 people that have given you their email?
It's 100,000 people that we've pixeled.
Okay, so do you have statistics on how many impressions it takes to get the person to buy? Like, statistically now, somebody's going to see an ad. They have no idea who you are, what your product is, or anything like that. It's going to take, on average, 16 times of them seeing your ad before they're going to take action.
Well, that's the beauty of this, is we've been doing it for 2 or 3 months already. Mm. So, like, 8 of those 16 times could have already happened by now.
Okay.
So now what we're doing is now getting them onto our email list. And what's been happening is that we've been spending a lot of money. And on Facebook, we're paying about a penny per view, so extremely cheap.
Yeah.
And then now we're getting them to go onto our email list, and we're getting people on our email list for under $1, which is, like, unheard of in the industry that we're in. But it's because we spent, you know, a couple $1,000s, which is not a lot of money at all compared to get a bucket of 100,000 people. And now we're getting them onto an email list to take them down our sales process. And all those leads are coming in at, like, well under $1.
Brandon, thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Of course.
Appreciate it. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. They're free, unbiased resources.
Biz Talk Radio,